and welcome to Modern Makers, where we explore arts, crafts, technology, and entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Julia Gerthy.
So we're talking to Stacy Bloomfield of Gingerbur in Springdale, Arkansas.
Hi.
So we love your business. You're an illustrator, right? And you sell cards and some apparel and wallpaper and fabric. I don't know about fabric.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me a little bit about the business and how you got started?
Well, 8 years ago, I started this business really as just a personal project. I had a background in graphic design and fine arts, and I had my first child, and I was looking for some artwork for her room. So I just made my own, and I remember at the time, Etsy was kind of a new kind of place to sell your handmade items, and my husband encouraged me to list some of these drawings online, and it kind of accidentally turned into a career. We first started just selling like art prints of my illustrations and like archival quality prints of my nursery decor, but then we found out that adults like my artwork too, not just like for their kids' rooms, but just because they liked the playful, fun animal illustrations. So we realized we were onto something. So we started putting my illustrations in other products, not just for nurseries. So we started selling like flower sack cotton screen printed tea towels, tote bags. We started doing, you know, stationery, calendars, greeting cards, and then we started wholesaling our products also. And now we wholesale in about 300 stores. And then we started licensing my artwork with other companies too. So now I have licensing relationships where they take my artwork and put it on products and pay me for it. So I work with like the Land of Nod, Crate and Barrel, West Elm, which is a Williams-Sonoma company. My fabric line is a licensing agreement through Moda Fabrics, and so on and so forth. So it kind of just happened by a happy accident 8 years ago, but now it's a business that I run full-time, and I have several employees who work for me. So.
Oh, that's great. What's the significance of the name? I'm just curious.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. I wish I had it here. When I was in college, I had to create a brand all about myself. And I chose the name Gingerbur. And it's just an old Latin word for the name ginger. I think maybe at the time my hair was dyed red, and I just really liked the way it looked. Like in typography, I just liked all the G's. And so that was where like the name came from. And then, of course, when I decided to start my own business, I kind of just stole that brand that I had created in college for a whole different project. And I was like, oh, I'll just use this. And I didn't realize it would stick. And now it's grown into its own business. And now I have it like trademarked, you know, for my own personal business use.
So, right.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Well, that's good that actually something you do in college is significant, that is worthwhile later. I'll have to tell my students that. I'm like, these projects may come back to help you one day.
No, it really did. Actually, my husband just found a magazine that I had to make about myself called Gingerbur. He showed it to me like 2 days ago. I wish I had it. And he was like, look, here it is. Here's the original inspiration for Gingerbur. And I was really excited. So
that's
kind of fun.
So cool. The impetus for this podcast and the film that we want to make is all about how these new technologies have made these businesses possible. And clearly, like if the web didn't exist and if social media didn't exist and some of these selling platforms didn't exist, could you have had your business, or how have these affected you running this business and launching the business?
I don't believe I'd have the career I had if it weren't for being in the right place at the right time, when a lot of these new ways to sell and reach an audience directly were really kind of exploding. So, for instance, if I were to start my business today and try to sell on Etsy, I wouldn't have the success that I had when I started, because it's a much larger, more saturated marketplace. But 8 years ago when I started, it was a much smaller, more curated kind of environment. But if you go even further away from that, if I had started the business, if I didn't have social media, for instance, or that online selling platform, I don't know how I would have done it. It would have been a lot harder. First of all, when you can reach an audience as easily with those tools, I don't know, it's much easier to quickly develop a business. You know, yeah. You have a built-in audience. Your marketing expenses are going to be a lot lower. You know, I've never thought about this. If I didn't have the tools I had now, what would I have done? I probably would have gone the more traditional route of going to work for like a advertising agency or a graphic design firm and kind of work behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd have my own brand.
What has been the most powerful tool out of all of these social media platforms and online selling tools? What do you think has been the most powerful for you?
In different phases of my career, different things. So Etsy, which I've mentioned a few times, obviously was very important to me in the beginning. A few years after I opened my Etsy store, they selected me as a featured seller, which at the time was a big deal. They did a big profile on me and my business, and I wasn't even full-time yet. I was still doing it, like, after my day job. I was working at a university as an admin, and in the evenings I would run my business, and that catapulted me with enough exposure that I quit, like, within a month of that feature, because it gave me so much exposure that led to magazine features, that led to wholesale. I didn't even have to go after it. It just happened, which is incredible. In terms of the biggest tool that I use right now, obviously Instagram is a huge tool when you're a visual artist to be able to not only show your products, but behind the scenes work. It's very popular now to, if you're an illustrator or any type of visual artist, to kind of do these time-lapse videos of, like, your entire process drawing them. And that's it's a really interesting way to engage with your audience when you're in a sea of all these other brands where everyone's trying to kind of get their brand noticed. It's so competitive. Like, there's things that you can do to connect with your audience. So Instagram's been really important. But a lot of people rely, like, on one tool, one social media tool. And I think I've cautioned against that because we live in a time when technology is changing so quickly. You put all of your eggs in one basket. If something were to change, like Etsy's changed, if I was still completely reliant on Etsy,
right,
and try to diversify, like now I have my own. Years ago, we built our own .com website, and you know, we put all of our marketing money into driving people directly there, as opposed to driving it to the Etsy site, because you can't control what happens on Etsy. Likewise, with Instagram, if you're a small business and they change an algorithm, it, like they've done in the past year, it means that maybe the people who like you or follow you won't see your posts.
Right.
But Instagram has been really important also. And I would say my newsletter, the collection of contacts that I've accumulated over the past 8 years that I've been in business, I mean, that's something that I own. And that's a direct way to, like, interact with those people, and no one can take that from me, which is important as a small business owner.
You aren't the first person to have really talked about Instagram a lot. I was going to ask you about the best way to get into stores for wholesaling, but it seems like you didn't really have to work that hard at it.
Not at first, but now we actually have a wholesale program that we've developed. So I'll say this. It was me running the business by myself for the first 4 years. And then once wholesale started happening, I actually brought on my sister to manage the wholesale. So now, you know, all these years later, her job is to manage those wholesale relationships, to send them our catalogs every quarter. We now go to trade shows to try to get wholesale. And then we also just on our own have gotten wholesale reps to take our brand and take our products and bring them to stores to see that we wouldn't be able to reach ourselves. So yeah, I mean, we got lucky in the beginning. Honestly, people disliked our product, but we really work at it now, and we're trying to really cultivate stronger relationships with those retailers. Because, you know, there are people who used to carry our products that don't now. There are brick and mortars that were open a few years ago that aren't open now. It's kind of a constant revolving door.
Right.
So our job is just to present our brand as beautifully as possible and to find those retailers who would like to carry, like, who our style would do well in their stores, you know?
Right. You mentioned the incident on Etsy that was just sort of an unexpected surge of business when you were the featured seller. Has anything else like that? I'm sure over 8 years, there are probably other incidents where people found you unexpectedly and you ended up with unexpected traffic. Do you have any great stories about unexpected media exposure?
Yeah, let me think. I will say that, you know, I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but things have changed so much with social media. It used to be that a few years ago when blogging was a lot more prominent. I guess you could say blogging is still important, but it used to be that anyone could have a blog and they would just feature products they liked and you'd get traffic from it. That industry's been monetized a lot, so you'll find a lot more professional bloggers who won't feature a product unless they get paid for it. Let me just preface that. But a few years ago, Martha Stewart, living on her Facebook page, Martha Stewart herself on her own Facebook page, featured my calendars just because she, whoever runs it, but it was the Martha Stewart page, they really liked it. And that kind of came out of nowhere, and I had no warning, and we sold out of those calendars very, very quickly. And then, likewise, Martha Stewart a few years ago launched an American-made store that they had online where they kind of selected the artists that they wanted to sell their products. And I was not prepared for, at that time, the exposure that it would bring me, which was wonderful. most recently, I mean, I still get media features. Like, I was at Better Homes and Gardens in February, and then, and I didn't know that was coming, so we sold tons of cat art prints, which is what they featured. They had a little cat section in their magazine, and we sold so many cat art prints. Fortunately, we produced those in-house, so we could keep up. Last year, we had a tote bag around Christmas that was featured on a prominent pet website. It had a, I don't remember what pet it was, but we were almost out of stock, and so we actually couldn't, we sold out, and we didn't have time to replenish in time to really capitalize on that. We've had a lot of cool features over the years. Where Women Create magazine just did an 8-page spread on me and their magazine. It's like a quarterly magazine, and they highlight artists in their workspaces. So Where Women Create, that's been great. I'll tell you, when a few years ago I got into fabric design and designing for a company called Moda Fabric, I was kind of unaware of how strong the quilting community is, like quilting fabric.
Oh my lord. Yeah.
Big, 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 big. And I love to sew, but I'm not a quilter. I can't say I'm a quilter, but I appreciate it. And I was completely blown away by the enthusiasm that I got from these like quilters. And I'd say a huge chunk of my social media following right now is like just from that relationship. Like, they announced my fabric line, my first one, and it was just like, so that was really exciting.
That is so funny. We're actually wanting to talk to you. Have you heard of the Missouri Star Quilting Company?
Yes.
That's a crazy story about how they got all their exposure on YouTube. And so eventually I'd like to interview them and maybe go visit. So that sort of inspired the idea, just unexpected, like success in unexpected places in the arts and crafts industry is what I'm really interested in. Your business is not dependent on the local economy, clearly. I don't know if it was initially, but do you see living and working where you are to be a pro or a con or have any effect on your business?
So I'm in Northwest Arkansas, which of all the places in Arkansas, it's got a lot of industry because Walmart is based in Northwest Arkansas. Several other large companies like Tyson Chicken and like George's like meat packing and all sorts of things. They're based in Northwest Arkansas. So I'm actually really fortunate. There's a lot of investment in like small business like growth. I just completed a 16-week course through the SBA, and they chose Fayetteville as a place to give a grant to be able to sponsor all these businesses who weren't necessarily startups but had been in business for a few years and were at a certain revenue, and to pour like 16 weeks of free resources into us to help us grow our businesses to scale up. And I mean, Fayetteville was chosen, and there's maybe 16 cities in all of the United States that got chosen for this, and Fayetteville was chosen. Mm-hmm. And I'm in Springdale, which is like next door to Fayetteville. So I'll just say that I feel like I'm in a really good place if I'm going to be in Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas is great. Locally, like I have a studio. Mm-hmm. I don't have a storefront right now. I had a storefront last year, but I had to relocate because of this and that. But I think my local audience is really strong, and we're working to grow that. I think it's tricky when you're an online-based place where people can't come into your store. Mm-hmm. So I do like local shows, so mm-hmm. I can interact with like the community. I'm doing a show in 2 weeks. I'll say this. If you're going to live somewhere, Northwest Arkansas is incredible because the cost of living is really low. Rent is inexpensive. Houses are really affordable. There's a lot to offer here. Mm-hmm. We have like the Walton Arts Performing Arts Center. We have Crystal Bridges, which is a world-renowned art museum that was built by Walmart, actually. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. And I guess there's a lot more culture where I'm at than people would expect. And so I just feel like I have a wealth of resources around me, you know, and I love it. So.
Well, I think, I mean, even in St. Louis, which is a bigger city, I think that the population wants to get behind local brands. I think that there's, in a smaller city, people are excited about that. You want to support the St. Louis brands. And I don't know if that's like, whereas if you were in a much larger city, I mean, if you're a New Yorker, who cares if everything's a New York brand? Like, why would you want to be, like, necessarily seek that out? But I think that I don't know. That's just work in theory. I don't really know.
I'll say this. Like, if you're a local brand here in Northwest Arkansas, I mean, there's a lot of local love. And I have a lot of friends who've really capitalized on that, who've been able to really connect that, like, I'm here and I'm local and this is my story and I'm a maker. Mm-hmm. And really love that connection. I'll say that that's something I'm working on. And, so Northwest Arkansas has tons of creative people, so many artists, and it's almost hard to be noticed. So I've done a lot of really cool things with my business, but it's really hard at times to be seen. So let me tell you what I'm doing. I draw these animals for a living. And so someone said, I was like, man, how can I get this local publication to notice that I'm here? And they said, well, just build a giant animal. Just build a giant animal and put it somewhere. So in my garage right now, I'm building a 7-foot-tall sitting giraffe. Like, it's enormous.
That is hilarious.
I'm building it and papier-macheing it and painting it. I'm putting it on public display in 2 weeks at a local craft fair. And the purpose of it is for people to obviously take photos with it and to enjoy it, but then to realize that I'm here and I'm a maker and I'm an artist and I do more than just, you know, sell online. Like, I want to present myself as a, you know, local creative who people are excited about.
What if you did a series with the local zoo of the animals there? Drawings inspired by the local animals. I wonder if the zoo, they should retell your, isn't there a zoo in Fayetteville or?
Oh. We have a zoo.
Oh. We're spoiled. We've got a really nice zoo.
I know. You have a great zoo. Oklahoma City has a great zoo. There are all these great zoos, but we are trying to get into zoo gift shops. So that is something we're trying to do.
Oh, that is a great idea.
That's one of the places we're targeting, museum gift shops that are oriented for more kids and then zoos. So we're kind of working on that independently in our wholesale outreach. But I will say this, like Northwest Arkansas is known for like the Razorback. The Razorback is a kind of the University of Arkansas mascot. So a few years ago, I drew a Razorback and it was really cute. It was like a gingerbread Razorback. And I licensed it with the University of Arkansas to be able to sell it. And for a couple of years, we were selling them on T-shirts. And people do associate me with this cute little Razorback shirt. So that's good.
Yeah. You probably know about AZA. It's the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, American Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And they do a big conference every year, which would be a good one to exhibit, you know, exhibiting your stuff.
Yeah.
If you're going to shows already, I would assume that they have exhibitors that are like marketing to the gift shop buyers.
No, that's a great idea. Back to the whole local thing. So I moved to Northwest Arkansas 9 years ago is when I moved here. And we've been here pretty much ever since. And early in my career, we had some trajectory like locally. I was featured in like our local Arkansas magazine and things. And then we briefly moved away to Oklahoma because my husband got a job transfer. And we lost all this local momentum. Uh-huh. And so when we moved back, it was like kind of starting from scratch to remind people, hey, I'm here. I'm in Arkansas. I love it here. I know I kind of went away for a little bit, but I'm back and I love it.
So, yeah. They're sad that you left them. They're still bitter you left them.
Maybe. I don't know. But like I said, there are so many talented, creative people here and amazing brands based out of Northwest Arkansas. You know, it's just about finding your place and your footing. So, yeah.
Right. Well, it's a beautiful, I mean, I think you're pretty close probably to Table Rock, right? The lake. And that's a pretty, pretty lake. I wish we were closer.
We're close to that and Beaver Lake. And, you know, Arkansas is just so gorgeous. People don't realize what a beautiful area it is. And I honestly feel so lucky to be here because, I mean, there's everything that you could possibly want.
Well, I don't want to keep you too long, but I would like to know what, if you have any advice for someone starting. I mean, you said that you were at the right place and the right time. And what advice would you give to people who are wanting to launch an arts, crafts-based business?
I'd say first and foremost, don't look around too much because, like, it can be super distracting and super hard of your self-esteem. If you're like, okay, I'm going to start a business and you look around to see everything out there, either one, you'll get distracted or two, you'll be accidentally influenced by things you're already seeing and maybe it'll clutter your own like vision for what you want to do.
Right.
Like Pinterest, for instance, I never go on Pinterest because I find it too easily. I'll see something and I'll forget that I've seen it and it might kind of be like, oh, I have an idea for something. Oh my gosh, I forgot I saw it on Pinterest. You know what I mean? Like,
Right. Try
to figure out your own what you want to do and don't look around too much because it'll just slow you down. Two, if you're going to get started, I mean, you have to utilize the tools of the time. Like right now, social media is so important to get your brand out there. I mean, almost as important as a good product or a good illustration. And I also say this, there's so many different ways you could go. Like I have a friend I went to college with and he's like Twitter famous now for these illustrations he does, like Twitter famous, which seems like, it seems interesting, but like he sells products like crazy, but Twitter is his platform and he has 50,000 Twitter followers, and that's just where he's put all of his energy, and he's really, really successful. I put a lot of my energy into Instagram, but I think the most important thing is wherever you choose to do it, you need to be consistent and have a cohesive brand, mm-hmm. whatever that brand is. So even if you're not selling products, if you're just presenting yourself as an illustrator or an artist, just make sure it's your voice that you're presenting it consistently. Tell your story. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing right now is we're all not just business owners or artists, we're storytellers.
Right.
And that's how you kind of connect to an audience to get them compelled to care about what you're doing. If you're trying to sell a product or sell a painting, you want them to connect with that story. And you have to be okay with sharing your story. I mean, it's about adding something personal to it, not just showing a product. Here's a picture of a product, buy it. Here's a picture of a product, buy it.
Right.
No, people want, they want to connect with you.
Right.
Which sounds, it's just, it's a tricky balance. Like, how vulnerable do you need to be on social media? How authentic can you be without being, like, too overbearing, you know?
Right.
These are things that at least I'm challenged with every day that I'm trying to grow my brand. How do I connect with people? How do I tell my story about Gingerbur? I'm a woman who had a baby and was looking for a solution. I needed some cute artwork, and I created my own solution, and it all grew from there. Right. You know, I'm a small business owner. You know, I'm a mother of three. Those are things that resonate with my specific audience. So my story.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I learned so much myself just by talking to you. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you, Stacy. Good luck. I love your business. Love your art. It's great. And I wish you the best of luck, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Good luck to you on your podcast.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Modern Makers Podcast. This production has been made possible by the Webster University School of Communications, producer Jim Singer, and production assistant Lindsay Schwartz. I'm host Julia Griffey. For more information, visit our website, www.modernmakersproject.com.